Thank you. It's good to be back here. I really miss this place a lot, you know, going from churches to churches now, and I know that I always heard missionaries come through and say, wow, this is a great church, and I thought, it's my church. I grew up here. I really took it for granted now that I see you traveling. But this mission conference, I have 10 minutes. We all have 10 minutes, and I just want to kind of give you my heart in what I hope you would get out of this conference, this meeting. That this mission conference, I hope that you will get a broader vision for the world, a bigger burden. I hope that you'll understand more of God's passion for the world, His purpose for the world. You know, God put Israel into the world, not just so He could have a people for His name, but so that He said, I have set thee amidst the Gentiles. I've set thee amidst the nations. I put you right in the middle of all these nations so that you can testify, so you can be a testimony for me. And I hope that you'll grasp that. I hope that you'll get that. You're not just here as a wayfaring stranger. You're here as a soldier. And God has put you here amidst the nations for a reason. Now, there's a lot of ways. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to need six guys. I'm going to pick them out here in a second. There's a lot of ways we can diagnose ourselves in relation to where we are by where He is. God's program, God's purpose, His passion, what is it, and where are we at? Now, we can compare ourselves to churches, like I just said. This church is not like the churches I've been to. But Paul says to compare ourselves among ourselves is unwise. So I have a chart here, kind of a visual help that will help us compare where we are in missions. So I need six guys. Josh, you two guys, two Cedric boys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and one more guy. B-Saul, where you at? Get up here. Don't trip, B-Saul. All right. I want two guys to stand right here. 1, 2. And then one guy to stand. You two guys stand right here. You stand right here on right here on the step. You stand one step higher up here. And then you stand on the top one. And then you stand on the top one. Good. All you guys have to do is stand here and hold a sign. It's government work. And then when I ask you, you just read what's on the back of that sign there. Okay. All right. Kind of hold them up kind of high so everybody can see it. Can you guys see it over here? Kind of, sort of, maybe a little bit. Hey, you guys kind of tilt it, you know. Okay, that's good. Now, these are the different levels of a church's involvement in mission. Church involvement is a possibility, is a project, is a program, a priority, a purpose, and a passion. Yes, they're alliterated, and I didn't alliterate them. This is a visual help to let us know where we're at, where we're at in relation of missions. And I'm just going to go through them all, and then I'll be done. But I want you to analyze yourself and then this church, personally and then corporately. I want you to think about where you're at. And you might be here. That's not a bad thing. But it goes all the way up. Now, purpose is a possibility. The church or the church member will say, what will say?
Our church may support missions or missionaries in the future.
Okay, louder.
Our church may support missions or missionaries in the future.
Now, when missions is a possibility in a church, it means that, well, you know, we'd like to get involved, but we don't know how. It's usually due to ignorance. They don't know what they can get involved with. They don't know how they can help missions, but they want to. It's a possibility. And sometimes it's just stubbornness. Some people just don't want to have anything to do with anything. They're just kind of, you know, the frozen chosen, you know. All right, as a project, what does he say?
We don't have a missions program. Sometimes we do things for missions or give money for it.
All right, this is the next level up, a project. They don't have a program. They don't have a strategic way of doing things. But, you know, they take a mission trip. They'll give an offering every once in a while to missions. That would be as a project. Now, missions as a program, what would they say?
Missions is one of the ministries in our church.
Missions is one of the ministries. It's a program. It's just like we have a nursing home ministry or Care Link or the nursery ministry, I don't know, a visitation ministry. Missions is another one of those ministries. Now, that's not a bad thing. But we're getting on up here, and at least it kind of tells you that if it's a ministry, you have a ministry, you kind of have a purpose and a strategy going on. So that's missions as a program. You know, the problem with a program, though, is that in a ministry, is everybody involved in a nursing home? No. Is everybody involved in CareLink? No. Is everybody involved in visitation? No. And you have a ministry, but not all the church is involved. So that's where a program's at. Now, church is a priority.
Missions is the most important ministry in our church.
That means that there's a clear level, there's a clear strategy involved in our missions ministry. That means that what we're doing, what we're going to go do, is all our other ministries are below it. They support the one ministry, the missions. And now, please understand when I say missions, I really mean the mission, what God has given us, the mission, now as a purpose.
Reaching the world for Christ is a major purpose for the existence of our church.
Purpose answers why. Why do you exist? Why are you here? Are you here just to sit here? Are you here just to, why? What is your purpose? What is your existence? And this answers the question for a church. The reason why we exist is for Him, is for the mission that He gave us. That's why we're here. That's why Israel was here. He set them amidst the nations. He set us amidst the nations. That's why we're here. It's a purpose. All right, and then as a passion.
Reaching the world for Christ is the reason for our church.
Now, this kind of sounds close, but as a passion, it's a little different. Because as a passion, that's what excites you. That is what you, when you wake up in the morning, you think about it. That's what gets your motor going, you know what I mean? That it's the passion of it. I'll give you an example. There's a church in Tennessee that has missions as a passion. They've done a great job at their community, within their community, and they've also adopted a city in India of over 1 million people. And that city they've adopted, they've decided it's their responsibility, it's their passion. I mean, everything they do ministry-wise goes toward evangelizing that city. Even from going on door-to-door visitation here, they do it to train younger people so they can do it over there in India. And they take teams. There's probably about 5 teams in this church, and so that means that at least 5 times that city has a team of people in that city, in India, from that church, just evangelizing, and they've started several churches that way. And that church is a passion. So here's all the different ways where a church, this is a diagnostic, and I want you guys to think of this whole conference. Where are you at on here? You know, it's not a bad thing that you're in the possibility. Because you might be saying, you know, I'd like to get involved in missions. It's a possibility, but I don't know how. And then once you find out how you can get involved, guess what it becomes? It becomes a project. That means, okay, I found something I can get involved with. It's a Guatemala trip or it's the Ecuador trip or something. We're going to contribute to that project. And then after it becomes a project, then usually if people catch the fire, it becomes a program. It becomes something that there's a strategy now involved. It's not just, we're going to do it just to see what it's like. There's actually a strategy, and then on and up it goes. So I want you to think about this. I might have a handout later on just to kind of remind you, like tonight or tomorrow night, just to kind of remind you, and so you can gauge yourself where you're at. But thanks, guys. Give them all to me.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Rick. And, I tell you, that's exciting because that's exactly where we want to go this week and gauge where we are, see our weaknesses and see our strengths, and then capitalize on all those areas that are going to propel us forward into doing even more for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing we ever want a church to do is flatline in our mission, as Brother Rick was saying, in the getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. You can't expect that we're going to get the gospel out to those places in the world if we're not doing it here as well. But we've got to do a good job here. We also have to do a good job there. I'm going to invite Brother Ronald Tobias, and I'm excited about this brother. I've known him for a couple of years. He's a pastor in Peru, who is now changing his ministry and moving to the Atlanta, Georgia area to start a Spanish ministry like we have here. And there's a lot of people to choose from up there that are Spanish speaking. And Brother Ronald Tobias is a great man for the job. I think he has 17 men who've been called out of his church into gospel ministry, and several were ordained just the other night, the night before he flew here. Several were ordained in a conference they had there, and so he's an exciting fellow, and let's hear from him, Brother Ronald.
Es un privilegio estar acá en esta noche, en esta mañana.
It's a privilege to be here this morning.
Doy gracias a Dios por la oportunidad de estar acá.
I give thanks to God for being here.
Gracias al pastor, al hermano Ron por la invitación.
And for Pastor Blaylock and for me for his invitation here.
Yo soy peruano.
He's from Peru.
Y soy un resultado de misiones.
And he's a result of missions.
Yo conocí el amor de Dios por medio de un misionero.
He gives glory to God for the results of missionaries.
El misionero era americano.
American missionary.
Y se llamaba Chris Gardner.
His name is Chris Gardner.
Entonces yo entiendo que es importante la misión.
Because he had a great interest and attention to missions.
Porque por un misionero que cruzó el mar y llegó a Perú.
He crossed the sea to go to Peru.
Yo conocí el amor de Dios.
And he was willing to give his life for the Lord.
Pero no solamente conocí el amor de Dios yo, sino también mi familia.
Following the call of God, but also to meet the needs of his family.
Yo nací en un hogar católico.
He was raised up Catholic.
Mi padre era ateo.
His father is an atheist.
Mi padre no conocía del amor de Dios.
His father doesn't know about the love
él negaba, of God. Él niega a Dios.
And he denies God.
Él cree en el materialismo, en el marxismo, en el leninismo.
He believes in materialism and all the things of the world.
Él nunca creyó en Dios.
And he never believed in God.
Cuando era chico, él tenía muchas necesidades.
And he's just only worried about the things of life that's necessary.
Y dice que él clamaba a Dios para que le ayudara.
He doesn't call on the Lord for his needs.
Pero Dios dice que nunca lo escuchó.
But he doesn't think God, and God won't hear that.
Y por eso es que él no cree en Dios.
Because he doesn't believe in God.
Entonces mi padre tenía muchos problemas en su vida.
His father has many problems in his life.
Aunque él era muy inteligente.
He's very intelligent.
Porque estudió bastantes bastantes profesiones en la universidad.
He studied some professions in the university.
Pero a pesar de ello, él negaba a Dios.
But he still continues to deny God.
Entonces, en la casa siempre había problemas de discusiones entre mi papá y mi mamá.
There's always problems in the house with discussions between his father and mother.
Mayormente mi papá estaba tomado, bebía alcohol.
His father has been drinking a lot.
Y por eso había problemas en la casa.
And because of that, there are problems in the
Entonces,
house.
Yo comencé a la edad de los 14 años.
And so for about 14 years,
a tomar.
He's been drinking.
Y tomé hasta la edad de los 23 años.
And
tomé, bebí hasta 23 años.
Su padre?
No, yo.
Oh, and he started drinking, and he drank for 23 years.
Y tenía una vida destrozada. Una vida destrozada.
And his life was just completely destroyed.
En mi casa siempre había problemas.
And in his house there were always problems.
Mi papá tomaba, yo tomaba y mi otro hermano tomaba.
So his father was drinking, he was drinking, and his other brother was drinking.
Y había muchos problemas, muchos conflictos.
And always conflicts and problems in the house.
Yo no conocía el amor de Dios.
He didn't know the love of God.
Nunca había escuchado la palabra de Dios.
He had never heard the word of God.
Mi abuelo, mi padre y mi abuelo no escucharon la palabra de Dios.
His father and his grandfather never heard the word of God.
Nunca tuvieron una oportunidad de cambiar su vida.
And never had an opportunity to change their life.
Nadie abrió la Biblia y les explicó.
They never saw the Bible explained to them.
Yo no recuerdo ninguna iglesia bautista o evangélica cerca de mi casa cuando yo era niño.
He never had a church that preached the gospel near his house.
Mi abuelo también tenía problemas con el licor.
His grandfather had problems with drinking.
Y él murió alcohólico.
And he died an alcoholic.
Sin saber nada de Dios.
Without knowing God.
Mi padre tampoco sabe nada de Dios, no sabía nada de Dios.
And his father is the same in the
Pero
same
yo tuve la oportunidad de escuchar del amor de Dios.
But he had an opportunity to hear of the love of God.
Por medio de un misionero.
Because of the missionary who came.
Yo doy gracias a Dios.
And he gives thanks to God.
Por las iglesias.
For the churches.
Que enviaron.
That sent.
A este misionero.
The missionaries.
A Perú.
To Peru.
Porque mi vida.
Because his life.
Fue cambiada.
Was changed
por medio de un de la palabra de Dios a través de un misionero.
Because of the word of God that was brought by the missionary.
Es importante misiones.
Missions is important.
Mi vida y la vida de muchos peruanos.
His life and the lives of many Peruvians were changed.
Ha sido cambiada por la palabra de Dios.
Were changed by the word of God.
Perú es un país que tiene muchos problemas.
Peru is a country that has many problems.
Y le echan la culpa al gobierno.
Le
culpan al gobierno.
Oh, they have many things against them.
A la economía, al dinero.
They're a bad economy.
Pero el problema.
But the greatest problem.
Es que no conocen a Dios.
But is that they don't know God.
Yo creo que si este pueblo conociera a Dios. Este pueblo conoce a Dios.
Oh, if there are people that knew God.
Dios podría bendecirlos.
Then God could help their needs.
Cuando yo tenía 23 años,
For 23 years,
un amigo me invitó a la iglesia.
A friend of his invited him to church.
Tenía muchos problemas.
After 23 years.
Tenía muchos problemas.
He had a lot of problems.
Yo llegué a la iglesia.
He came to the church.
Y yo vi a un americano.
And he saw an American.
Era un gringo.
A gringo.
Era... Era raro, era diferente.
Someone who is different.
En mi país hay pocos americanos.
In Peru, there aren't that many Americans.
Pero llegamos ahí y él estaba predicando el evangelio.
He came there and he heard the gospel preached.
Yo no recuerdo mucho del mensaje.
He doesn't remember very much of the message.
Pero recuerdo una cosa.
But he remembers this.
Él hizo la invitación.
In the invitation.
Y él dijo.
He said.
Dios puede cambiar tu vida.
God can change your life.
Y yo había querido cambiar mi vida por muchos años.
And he had been trying to find a way to change his life for many years.
Pero no podía.
But he hadn't, couldn't find that way.
Porque era esclavo del pecado.
Because he was filled with sin.
Pero ese día, el pastor estaba diciendo que Dios podía cambiarme.
But on that particular day, the pastor said God can change your life.
Y yo de todo corazón creí.
And he said you need to give your whole heart.
Y yo le dije, Dios, si tú puedes cambiar mi vida,
and he said, God, if you can change my life,
yo te la doy.
Then I want what you're giving.
Cambia mi vida.
I'll give my life.
Yo no quiero yo no quiero vivir así.
I don't want to live like I've been living.
Y ese día el Señor tomó mi vida y me dio una nueva vida.
And that day, the Lord took his old life and gave him a new life.
Cambió todo, limpió todos mis pecados.
Changed his life and cleansed all of his sins.
Y ahora, yo soy una persona diferente.
And now, today, he's a different person.
Yo soy totalmente diferente de lo que era antes.
Totally different than he was before.
Solo por la gracia de Dios.
All because of the grace of God.
A través de un misionero.
And the work of the missionaries.
Que llegó a mi lugar a predicar el amor de Dios.
Because they came to my place and preached the love of God.
Un americano fue hasta Perú.
An American came to Peru.
A predicar el evangelio.
And preached the gospel.
Un peruano viene a Estados Unidos.
And now a Peruvian is coming to the United States.
A predicar el evangelio.
To preach the gospel.
A la gente hispana.
To the people who are Spanish speaking.
Los hispanos vienen a los Estados Unidos.
Because many Spanish speaking people are coming to the United
hay
States.
Hay más hispanos en Estados Unidos que en mi país.
There are more Hispanics here in the United States than in Peru.
Vienen buscando prosperidad.
And here they're seeking for prosperity.
Dinero.
Money.
Pero pierden su alma.
But they are losing their soul.
Porque no hay quienes predique el evangelio.
Because there are not enough people preaching the gospel to them.
En este país tan bendecido por el evangelio.
And here they need to be reached by the gospel.
No hay quien predique el evangelio a la gente hispana.
And there are not that many that preach the gospel to the Spanish.
Mi plan es predicar el evangelio a los hispanos.
His plan is to preach the gospel to the Spanish.
En el área de Atlanta.
In the area of Atlanta.
Les pido que oren por mí.
He said, pray for him.
Y por los documentos de mi familia.
And he's waiting for his documents to come through so he can come, his visa, so he can come to the States and so his family can come to the States with him.
Y doy gracias por el privilegio.
He gives thanks for the privilege
de conocer
to know
a ustedes,
you people here.
Y también doy gracias a Dios por el misionero que fue y me alcanzó con el evangelio.
And also for the missionaries who came to preach the gospel to him. Thank you, Ronald. Well, what a great testimony. That's missions at work. And it's happening in places where we send missionaries and send mission help. It's helping in countries like that so that people just like Ronald Tobias, whose life was a wreck because of alcohol and his upbringing and his living without the gospel, we had the opportunity to hear and to be saved. And wow, what a change. I'll tell you what, you're going to hear more from him and from Brother Rick and our next speaker more this week and see their presentations, and it just gets more exciting. Thank you very much, Brother Ronald. I'm going to invite my good friend Trent Cornwell to come, and this young man is a real blessing, and I think we're very privileged to have him here in the church with us this week. And he's going to be doing some special work with the young people. He specializes in working with young people. And God has given him a heart for that work and to help us, oldsters too, with the things of mission. So, Brother Trent, you come, please.
Good morning. I'm excited to be with you here today. I may need a translator, not because I'm from Peru, but I'm from Kentucky. And so if you don't understand some of my words, you can ask Brother Rick. He's been working with me for a few years now, and he knows my extra words that I have in my vocabulary. I say hi and howdy also. If you will look in Numbers chapter number 14, I've heard great things about this church, and it's a beautiful facility, and just exciting things I've heard about the great expository preacher, pastor that you have here. And I'm just real excited to know about your heart for missions. But the greatest testimony to you, this church, I believe, is the product that you have. I'm good friends with Brother Rick and Brother Jeff Andrews. And a weak church doesn't produce such strong men. And I know that this has to be a strong church that preaches the Bible and that understands missions to produce the kind of men that you have. And I do love Brother Rick, and this being my last time to ever say that, okay? It's good, and I'm excited to get to hear Dr. Keene. It's a great honor for me. I've been traveling for the last year and a half and praying that I have the opportunity to get to hear Dr. Keene. I hope you don't miss it. He's a phenomenal man of God with a heart for the world, and we really need him in such a time as this to reach out. This morning, 30,000 people have died, but you know by the end of the time today that we eat our lunch and go to bed, another 30,000 or so will have died of just natural cause. 107 people die every minute, and 70 of them may have never heard of Jesus Christ. The reason that we gather today, the church, we're gathered, the joy that we get to have, they'll never experience. And when bad things happen to us, maybe if we're in Louisiana or wherever we're at, the church is there for us. This church responded, and a church is there. But in these countries, they're in Kashmir, India, the church isn't there for them. They don't have a place to go by and hear people singing. They have no place. I saw this morning as I was eating breakfast downstairs in the hotel, people, they were crying out because they didn't have any hope, and they truly don't have it. But we do, and we must share it with them. I'd like to submit to you that today that the worldwide proclamation of the gospel awaits a generation with the determination, the courage, and the obedience to attempt the task. For 2,000 years now, the world has been waiting for the gospel to be preached to every creature. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was risen, he said, go you therefore and teach all nations. And those men, they went and they hazarded their lives to get the gospel around the world. And we see in Colossians 1:23 that every creature heard the gospel. And even though as these men were going out and teaching, there's another group of men that says they paid people not to tell of this. It said that the Jewish people, they went and they did as they were taught. We had a race of teachers. We had one group of people making disciples and telling the whole world. And we had another group of people that were trying to tell people that this resurrection of Jesus Christ wasn't true, that the disciples stole him away, and they created all this confusion. Now looking back 2,000 years later, and we have the vast majority of the world with over a billion Muslims, and with countries just held in bondage by Muslim and Hindu beliefs, we have to know that we're not winning this race, and we must do something about it. And we need a revolution in missions back to the way that it was. We need something that we believe in so strongly that we'll be willing to die for it. And in Numbers chapter 14 here, reading in the words of Moses, it says, I'll read in verse 17 to verse 19, Numbers 14, verse 17. It says, "And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according to thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech, the iniquity of these people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. And as truly as I live, and all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." What happened here is the 12 spies were wanting the Canaan, and they came back, and the people were murmuring, and they wasn't complaining, and they didn't want to serve God. And God, in his wrath, he said, I'm going to skip over this generation. These people don't understand what my purpose is and what their passion should be. And Moses cries out for his generation. He says, God, please don't skip over this generation. Use us in a great way. See, what happened, these people forgot that not only did he say, let my people go, but he had said, let my people go that they may serve me, and that he had a great work for them. And I believe we've had many generations, and the generation that I'm part of is that same way. We forgot that God wants us to serve him and to bring him glory. I'm 45 years old. I just drink a lot of water and exercise a lot, and I'll sell you my book out back if you would like. But honestly, I'm just short of 23 years old. And in my generation, the college age, we're missing in our churches. They're disappearing into the secular colleges and never being seen again. And I have a heart to bring them back and bring them back to the point of obedience so that we can see the world accomplished. And I pray that this will be our prayer, that God will pardon our generation according to our word. And this week, maybe we'll pray to God and ask him that he won't skip this generation. This could be the generation that we're waiting for. About 5 years ago, I was in the Republic of Georgia, which is right beside Turkey. And when I was there, make a long story short, a man followed me back half a mile. He wanted the word of God. He had read the book of John 18 times, accept the Lord as his Savior. And he was waiting for the day that somebody would bring him the entire word of God. And as I was talking to him and he followed me back half a mile, a crowd gathered around and it appeared to be a dangerous situation. And I was pushed onto the back of this bus and I couldn't get to this man. And as we drove off, I was standing on the back of that bus. And as we drove off, he was on the ground there crying out to me. And he was crying for that Bible that I had in my hand. And it was at that moment that I realized that that man was waiting for me and that I had a responsibility to him to get him the word of God. And I began to think about that. I got back to college and I met some people like Brother Rick and Aaron Bayshore and some different friends in my life. And I began to realize that I not only had a responsibility to that man and that he wasn't just waiting for me, but 6.3 billion people in this world were waiting for something that I had. And I had a responsibility to him because the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation had been committed unto me as a believer. And I had so many resources, and I was very convicted. I wanted to know how I could go forth the battle, and I wanted to do something for God. And I believe that there's many other men out there waiting. This man, because of conscience and creation, knew there was a God, and he was waiting for the church to get to him, and I was able to do that. And it was so exciting. The most thrilling thing you could ever do in your life. It's always a struggle to keep it from, even in my own life, to keep it from just being a purpose and keeping it to be a passion. What a great lesson we heard from Brother Rick today, that it all be what drives us, and we can pray this to God. That quote that I said at the beginning, that the worldwide proclamation of the gospel awaits a generation with the courage, determination, and obedience to attempt the task, was said by John R. Mott. He was a 1946 Nobel Peace Prize winner, and he was a student at Cornell University. He was at another college, but he wanted to get away from the things of God, and he went to that college, and when he did, J.K. Studd, which was the brother of C.T. Studd, famous cricket player and leader of the Cambridge Seven, he came to America and was speaking to college students. And as he came over here, and as he was speaking there at Cornell, John R. Mott, he was invited by some people of the YMCA to come hear this man, and he came in a little bit late. And as he was leaving, he was standing in the back of the auditorium, J.K. Studd says, "Seekest thou not great things for your life, but seek ye first the kingdom of God." And it was at that time he had a crisis in his life where he decided that he would either live a life for himself or he'd live it so he'd bring glory to God. And in so doing, we saw hundreds of and thousands of young people surrender to the mission field, and God did a great work in his life. And I pray that we can bring college students to that crisis in their life. And I pray that God will pardon our generation, even though in light of our iniquities and our unrighteousness, that he will pardon us and he'll use us in a great way. And let's pray that now. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this church and what it stands for. Lord, we come today not just in personal repentance, but we repent as a generation of people that have not been obedient to you. Lord, we desire so strongly to see the world reached in our generation, and we want it because it is what will bring you maximum glory. I pray that you'll lead us and you'll direct us, and in these next few days, Lord, decisions that will be made that will impact the entire world. Thank you for loving us and choosing to use us, even though we're so unworthy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Trent. Now, what we're trying to do this morning in Sunday school is just give you a little taste of things that you can enjoy in the next services today and tonight as well at 6:30, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7:30, because each of these young men will be here. There are tables, display tables in the back, and there are different items that you can look at and pick up and take with you to better help you understand their ministry. Be sure and get a prayer card, and be sure and begin to pray for each of these young men and for their ministries. You know, we want to be faithful in that responsibility. Brother Rick and Crystal traveling now, all over the place, trying to raise up the support that they need to get to Peru in this coming year. And so we need to be learning how we can pray for them. And, of course, Brother Ronald Tobias, and he's mentioned that please pray for his visa situation. It's in the works. I spoke with the man who's working on it, and they were hopeful it would have already come through, but he has a precious wife and a little girl. He's having to be separated from them at times just to travel here and do some things about raising his support and getting their ministry started in the Atlanta area. And then, of course, Brother Trent Cornwell, who, by the way, was just engaged this month to a pastor's daughter from Georgia, and their picture's on the table out there. And she's a precious young lady that we have come to know the last couple of years. And so pray for them. Brother Trent's going to be in, I believe, seven different college campuses over the next few weeks, and talking to many Christian young people and sharing this burden of what we can do here in our generation to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out around this world so that we reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and they have an opportunity to hear before some tragic disaster strikes their area or before they're taken in death in some other way and their family members do not have to cry out in despair and without hope. And so all of these things are just a little taste of what we're going to be having. We've got a presentation that's going to be given each night, and every one of them are going to be special. Some are video presentations and other types of media presentations. Brother Rick promised that he's going to give us this outline. I'm waiting for that. I want to see that in my hand. I think it'll be a good evaluation tool for all of us. And we're going to have some other things like that, things that you can take home with you and help you pray for missions, help you to be aware of missions. And I've got an exciting thing we want to do this week with our sister church, the Spanish church. I've got something very exciting I'm going to be sharing with you, and a number of young men that are excited about a project we're involved in. And I don't think you're going to want to miss it. It's just absolutely exciting. All these things are. And then capping off each night is going to be Dr. Keene and the message that God has given him to stir and challenge our hearts. And so we're very, very excited about that. Now, we're also going to have some skits starting tonight. And Brother Cornwell is going to be working with some of the young people. And so please, immediately after church, those at Ransom and those other young people that have been preparing for helping with these, we want you to meet with Brother Cornwell immediately after so we can make some arrangements to get these things all underway. You're going to want to see these. I've seen some of them. They are just absolutely wonderful and challenging and will be a great blessing to us. Believe me, I was talking to Brother Trent this morning about one that we saw this past summer at a camp, and it's constantly running through my mind like a loop. It was a great challenge. He's still hurting because of it. He got tackled on the platform. We won't do any of that, Brother Trent, but anyway, it was a great thing. And we're so happy you're here. Let's stand together. We're going to be dismissed for this transition of services and look to the Lord to bless what we've already heard and what we will hear in the service to come. Let's pray. Father, once again, we invoke the wonderful, precious, holy, and saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you would work in a marvelous way through this meeting. Thank you for these men that we've heard from. Lord, each one of them has a great passion, and they want to share that passion with us. Oh, Lord, will you drive that into each of our hearts? May there not be a person who is not affected in a great way and in a right way because of what we hear and what we see. And we thank you by your grace that we have a privilege sitting here in a wonderful place, air-conditioned, comfortable place, to know these things and to see these things and to be exhorted to greater things for the Lord, for those around the world who do not have the same liberties or privileges. Help us, we pray. Dismiss us from this Sunday school hour. Prepare our hearts for the next hour to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.